This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Libya has stated that weapons of mass destruction are not the answer for Libya's defense. No more are they the answers for their region.
And another message should be equally clear. Leaders who abandon the pursuit of chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them will find an open path to better relations with the United States and other free nations.
Prime Minister Tony Blair and President Bush announcing yesterday that Libya has vowed to give up its weapons of mass destruction. The announcement ended a week, of course, that in many ways began late last Saturday night with the capture of Saddam Hussein. Joining us to talk about all of this and more is NPR senior news analyst Dan Schor. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And much news. So let's immediately start with Libya. Best as you can assess it at this moment, what's happened here?
Well, as best I can assess it, I think that Gaddafi, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, has been trying for several years to break out of Libya's isolation and to get rid of the sanctions that apparently do bite. Mm-hmm. He started by negotiating several billion dollars in compensation for the families of those who were killed in the bombing of Pan Am 103 back in 1988. That, one suspects, was meant as a retaliation for President Reagan's having ordered the bombing of Tripoli, Libya, the compound of Gaddafi himself. And so...
That came after an incident in Germany?
That's exactly right. That was probably a retaliation for the Libyan involvement in bombing a discotheque in West Berlin frequented by American GIs. Mm-hmm. So you had tit for tat, I guess you can call it that, but it sort of come to the end of the road. Now, because the Libyan overture with regard to getting back and getting all the weapons out, because that began in London in March, and just as the invasion of Iraq was getting underway, mm-hmm. Now the Bush administration would be happy to surmise that this is one of the fruits of his preemption policy.
Well, let me ask you that linkage question. Is this, in fact, a result of the United States and United Kingdom demonstrating resolve in Iraq? And willingness.
Well, you know, if you talk to people in the White House, they'll be happy to tell you that you see America showed resolve and America showed they can't get away with it. And in the end, that was going to have an effect. On the other hand, Libya was never mentioned among the axis of evil countries and it was never considered a big part of this. As to whether there was also a link with the war on terrorism, in the sense that the Lockerbie bombing was a terrorist and state-sponsored act, yes. But the other connection, I suspect, is that Libya may now become a source of intelligence on al-Qaeda operations, and that may be the most useful effect. Mm-hmm.
The Iraqi Governing Council announced this week it's going to try Saddam Hussein in a war crimes tribunal that was established just, I believe, 3 days before Saddam was captured in that spider hole. Is there going to be some attempt at internationalizing the process?
Well, I think the Bush administration would be happy to have the trial conducted by an Iraqi tribunal, which is named by the Governing Council, which in fact the United States had appointed, so that would manage to keep the American hand in there. That may not fly because you think about it and you think, does Iraq have a real legal code after 30 years? Is there any way you can find Iraqis who are impartial on the subject of Saddam Hussein? So there's some talk now beginning to arise of something called a hybrid court, which was used in Rwanda and used in Bosnia. That is, you have indigenous judges sitting on but sitting with them are international judges. One of the big problems lying ahead is that if you want a judge from a country, say in Europe, where the death penalty is banned, you may not be able to find judges if you're going to insist that it be open to the death penalty, which the Bush administration so far does.
Mm-hmm. The Iraqi Governing Council points out that I believe every government in the region has the death penalty, even if Europe doesn't.
Generally speaking, that's correct. Mostly the Islamic Arab countries maintain the death penalty, but the European countries do not.
But the capture of Saddam Hussein, where does that put the determination of the U.S. administration to begin to bring U.S. troops home on a timetable beginning next summer?
Well, I mean, clearly the administration would just love, is desperate to have the troops at least on their way home as they begin to approach the election next November. But I don't think it can happen unless in the insurrectionary violence has abated by then, and that is not at all sure. The president keeps insisting they'll be there as long as it takes. Latest polls indicate for the moment that he's not under great pressure on the subject, that Americans on the whole say, and this may be the effect of Saddam Hussein's capture, that most of them say stay there as long as it takes, or at least a couple of years or whatever. He doesn't have a big problem now. Mm-hmm. But if things remain as they are now, a long time by next summer, he may face a different situation.
We have to talk about the political fallout, obviously, of Saddam's capture. President Bush's prospects are improved, one assumes?
Yes, it looks as though, yes, there's a certain lift in his job approval ratings and all those things. It goes back to where it was about last June. But you never know how temporary that is, whether it's simply that there's one great week after the Saddam Hussein thing. Mm-hmm. And so I would be very hesitant to say. He has 63% job approval rating in one of the polls now. And we'll see how, among the Democrats, you found that Howard Dean took something of a beating from the other candidates because he said America is not safer after Saddam's capture. What he meant to say was that as he's been saying all in the past months, the real problem isn't and never has been Iraq. It's the problem of Al-Qaeda and the terrorists there. But he's still the front runner. He's still way ahead in New Hampshire. Still has a close race with Gephardt in Iowa, and we shall see.
Time will tell. I've heard that somewhere. Yeah. Let me ask you, James Baker returned from Europe, having gained indications from, I believe, France, Germany, Italy, Britain, and Russia, they're willing to offer debt relief to Iraq. How did you bring off this deal?
Well, the European countries were rather upset at being told that they were barred from getting reconstruction contracts. Mm-hmm. And this happened just as Baker was going to Europe, so they thought that the arm was being put on them. But Jim Baker managed to convey a sense that there's a linkage between their getting contracts and their allowing debt reduction. Since we're talking about $120 billion, a large part of which can never be paid off anyway, the French, the Germans, the Italians, and finally the Russians, members of the so-called Paris Club of Creditors, are saying, okay, we'll talk debt reduction since we probably won't get the rest, and please, we want to get some contracts for Iraq.
Let me wind up. An appeals court this week ruled that Jose Padilla should be released from military custody. The administration overreached by keeping him. He's a U.S. citizen in indefinite detention without access to a lawyer. Is this going to change the domestic war on terrorism?
Well, this is very interesting because the Bush administration takes the position that its most solemn obligation is to protect the American people, implying that whatever the courts say, he can override the courts. At various times, President Nixon said something like that, and President Reagan once said that Lincoln freed the slaves, but it was an unconstitutional act, and now and then the president has to disobey the Constitution. All of this is now headed toward the Supreme Court, and the question becomes twofold. What will the Supreme Court say about civil liberties and the extent to which you have to give up civil liberties? And secondly, when the Supreme Court has spoken, the next question was going to be, will this administration listen even to the Supreme Court?
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.